Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Hello. All right, Devin, from the frosty cold north of Vermont, what you got for us today? I'm from Vermont. You're in Baltimore.
From the kind of mild weather here in Maryland today. Summer is here. I am in the process of moving all my bad habits outdoors.
I like that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The process of moving all my bad habits outdoors. Like, oh, I like to drink. I like to eat good food. Mm-hmm. I like to... You know, watch YouTube videos instead of doing work. You could do all those things sitting outside.
Yeah, you can have all your vices outside.
Yeah, when it's not too hot out.
Yeah, but I don't know who said that. It could be from a country song. I don't know. Sometimes I just grab one set that look good.
That's good. I like during the summer, because the sun stays up so long, we always end up having dinner really late. And like my wife, Nicole, and I, we always feel guilty because we're like, oh man, we were supposed to have like dinner at 7 and it's like 9:30 and it's still light out. And we're just chilling outside hanging out. We're like, oh, I guess we probably should have some, you know, have some dinner and feed our daughter. Like,
oh, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But now she's getting so old, she'd probably be, I've already eaten.
Yeah, exactly. Good. I went inside and I had some cereal and then I made myself some, you know, some soup and I'm like, what? She's like, I'm good.
You yeah, guys have your fun.
I remember when we were kids and we'd go to bed, you know, in the summer, bedtime when we were kids was like 8:30 or something. I mean, it was always 8:30, but in the summer, it was still light out. It was like light out for another hour.
I know, it was
like
going
to bed and be like, oh, it's still light outside. And birds are singing. There's like games to be played.
Oh, 8:30, was that really our bedtime?
Yeah, 8:30.
Man.
Yeah, it was crazy. I know, right? And yeah, I mean, now I guess we're at the summer solstice. We're like, what, a day or two away from the summer solstice. And it's, you know, what is it? It's 10 o'clock, almost 10 o'clock now, and there's still a little bit of blue in the sky. It's like, you know, not completely dark yet. It's crazy.
Yeah, crazy but stuff. Here we are. Summer has began. What do people say? If you have, say, spring has sprung, what do you say for summer? It has to be some type of alliteration, right?
Right. Well, now it's like... Well, let's see. Autumn, summer, fall.
Summer shines. I don't think
summer shines.
I don't have to say with a lisp, I guess.
Yeah.
Just spring shines. Is sprung. I always feel like I have to say with a lisp.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like it's like when you get that first day of summer, which I think was just a couple of days. That's the solstice, right? I think on the solstice, the first day of summer. So it was a good one. Longest day of the year. I was up here just hanging out right around Father's Day, sitting out by the fire. If you guys saw my Instagram posts. Just, it was really nice. Just a nice day, just relaxing and hanging out. And I'm up in Vermont visiting my in-laws. So my wife and I came up with our daughter. We came up on Saturday, and we're going to be leaving on Saturday. Today is Thursday. So
yeah. A
couple more days. It's been really nice. We came up on Saturday. We were here, and then on Tuesday morning, we went up a little bit further north to Weston, Vermont. And if anybody's familiar with the New England area and or the Vermont Country Store, which is actually a mail order thing you can get from all over the country. Vermont Country Store is in Weston, Vermont. So right in Weston, there's a place called the Trout Club, which my father-in-law's uncle and grandfather and great-grandfather have all been part of and members of for a couple generations back. So my wife's uncle Howard is now the current living member. And so he got us a cabin on this little lake, and they stock it with trout, and it's a members only club. And you have these little boats with, you know, little electric motors. You can zip around and trout fish. And we stayed in the cabin overnight. It was super nice. So did that for a night, and then back to, Whitingham, Vermont, which is where my in-laws live. And then we went over to Newburyport, Massachusetts, and visited Howard there at his new place. So that was yesterday. We went, after coming back, went over there and then visited with my wife's grandmother and aunt as well, who are now living in Newburyport, Mass. So it was nice to see them today. And then we came back up and stopped at a cool antique store and walked around Newburyport a little bit. And then we're back in Whitingham today. So kind of like all over the place, but nothing's too far, you know. It's like, well, Newburyport is about 2.5 hours from here, so it's not crazy, you know. When you don't have any like real schedule or any time frame to be anywhere, it all right. Just kind of is like, yeah, you know. It's just, since you don't have, like, we didn't have to be back in any time. We actually got back sooner than I was thinking. We were, you know, planning on leaving around noon or something, and I was like, well, maybe we'll leave around noon, maybe we'll stop and get lunch, you know, who knows, maybe back around 4:35 or something like that, depending on how long. And we ended up getting back at like 3:45. Like I said, even we stopped at an antique store, which unfortunately that antique store had tons of awesome stuff, tons of blacksmith stuff, tons of old tools and things, but everything was so expensive. It was crazy. It was the most expensive like antique store I've ever, and not like it wasn't all like antiques. It was like a regular antique store, but then it had a bunch of stuff, you know, like just, not high-end antiques, just stuff. And it was just so expensive, you know, like pairs of old tongs that were kind of rusty and crappy for like $40.
Whoa. And
there was a Collins Legitimus, it may have been a Connecticut pattern. It wasn't in greatest condition, but it was $60. You know, and like it was rusty, and then there was a not was it not nipper or something like that, I think is the name, but it had some pretty bad toe jam, which means the top of the axe, the blade was kind of ground and, you know, had been chipped and ground away. That was only $20, but, you know, it wasn't worth it to, it's an okay axe. It's a cool head, and it's, you know, not super, it's not seen all the time, but, you know, I'm a collector user, so I'm not going to buy an axe that I can't use. You know, unless I get a good deal on something that's worth way more than I get it for, and then I, you know, buy it and sell it. But
which you rarely do,
right? Exactly. Yeah, I prefer to use the axes. Like I said, if I found an axe that was worth a lot of money, you know, like a Black Raven or you know, there's like the Plum Champion and the Kelly Warranty. Yeah. You know, there's like all sorts of things that could be worth like multiple hundreds of dollars. Those I wouldn't actually use. I probably wouldn't sell them, but I wouldn't use
right.
them.
Right. I was going to say you wouldn't sell them even if you found something that rare. You would definitely keep it even if you had the right. chance to, I don't know, make a couple $100. I mean, it's a good chunk of change, but it's not like life changing.
Right.
If someone exactly. all of a sudden offered you $40,000 for something, and you'd be like, "Oh, well, okay, yeah, I'll sell it." But if you buy it for cheap, like $10 or something, then it's actually kind of even like a better story.
Right. Exactly.
Like, can you believe it? I got this for this amount, or maybe you throw them a little bit more because they don't know what they have. You know, if it's some lady selling her dead husband's tool supply, and he had a Black Raven, and she's like, "Oh, I don't know, $5." You're like, "Well."
How about I give you 50, you know, like, yeah. or whatever. Here's 20, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
yeah.
I appreciate it. This is a great thing. Your husband had great taste. Here's some extra cash.
Right.
Thank exactly. you so much. Yeah. Don't try to. That was
I was going to say
that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Watching American Pickers.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
They always will throw them a little more money. And now that could be because they're on TV.
Right. Yeah. People are going to be like killing them. Yeah. But
no matter why they do it, they're still doing something good. And right, they make a point of going when people don't know what they have. I mean, right. they want a deal, but if someone you can tell when they're selling stuff for like everything for $5-$10 because they just want it gone.
Right.
And the guys are actually like, well, how about I give you 50 because this is actually worth 150. So.
Right. Yeah. yeah. And they're like, oh, okay. And then you know that too. Then they just know they're honest guys. Then they know that in the future, then they have another returning mm-hmm. client. Mm-hmm. You know, someone who will probably reach out and be like, hey, you know, I have some more stuff. You might want to come check it out. They'll call them first because they know they're going to be, you know, honest and hopefully, you know, give them a little bit extra cash if they run into it.
Speaking of yeah. expensive antique, did I talk about going to Ellicott City, the antique place yet?
I don't think so.
I don't know if I did it on the last one. So if I did, I apologize.
No, it wasn't on the last one. No.
Okay. Well, we went to Old Ellicott City, which is a nice little town in Maryland. We went to this antique place because on social media, this record spot had kept popping up and finally got me. I was like, you know, I'm going to go down. My wife and I had a day off and had the baby, obviously, so we all went down and were walking around Ellicott City and went into this, you know, like an antique depot, antique mall. So it has a bunch of different stands. And right. they didn't have many tool spots, but there was one record place on the top floor, and then he had another booth on the bottom, which was cheaper. But the top floor, he wanted $35 for new records.
For new records,
sealed records. Okay. Now, if I'll say that's way too high. I mean, you can get, I feel like you shouldn't pay more than $20 for, like, if it's a new record and you really want it, you shouldn't pay more than 20 if it's sealed and new. Obviously, if it's an old sealed record, that's some special, you know,
right.
that's
yeah,
a whole
exactly.
different thing.
That's
if
different.
It's like,
yeah, collectible and sealed and whatnot. Or,
right.
Yeah.
Then it's a whole different thing, but not like a, and he was selling old new stuff, you know, so it'd be like Rolling Stones or something, Goathead Soup, and then it would be sealed up. But it's like, no, you didn't seal it. You just bought it from somewhere for,
right.
you bought it on Amazon for $17 and you sell it for $35.
Right, yeah.
So that, I was like, ah, man. So then I was like, all right, I'm getting none of the stuff upstairs, so I got to find the downstairs. When I found it, and even that, all his used stuff was $10, $15. It's when someone, I guess they know what they have, but
right.
but it's also they've gone too far with it.
Right.
It's like, you know what you have, but now you're doing, like, top-end retail price. Like,
right.
like that you're trying to get... There's no deal here at all, but
yeah,
I don't know. But I mean, like I can go to Soundgarden in Baltimore, and almost every record's not above $20 unless it's like a double LP or something.
Right. Yeah.
I wanted to call him out on something, you know, like maybe do a review, but I was like, eh, like whatever. but I yeah. know the people who are going to go in there and be like, oh, I just got a record, like a suitcase record player, you know, the ones you see in Target.
Yeah.
I want like, you know, the Beach Boys and Taylor Swift and Metallica, like these cool looking records that everyone knows. But then, what, you're going to spend $100 for three records?
Right, exactly.
Or what? Yeah, $100 for three records. Come on, yeah. that's not the fun of, just the same thing with tools. The
right.
fun is yeah. the search and getting some deals and recovering old used things that people aren't using anymore and loving them again. That's the fun.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like I said, he had a bunch of like blacksmith tongs and stuff, and they were all like $30, $40, $45, you know, like 35. Like, I can buy a brand new pair of tongs for that amount. You know, like I don't yeah. need to pay a retail price for something right. new when I'm finding something. Now, it'd be different if they were refurbished and cleaned up and in really good condition, right? Because then it's like, okay, well, maybe I'm buying this thing that's, you know, a vintage something, right? But these are just like, they're just rusty. They're just, he got a bunch of them from some estate sale and just threw them in there and put it like retail prices on them. I was like, I did find a, what was the brand? I can't remember off the top of my head, but a 16-pound sledgehammer head on the porch out front. You know, that's one of the, that's the best places to look if you guys, if you're ever looking at antique stores and stuff, you want to find old like rusty metal tools and stuff, look on the front porches, because that's where they just like lean the stuff they don't really care about, I think. And that's, I found some like axe heads and old files and tools and stuff before, you know, hand planes. But I found it out front. Everything, this was like as we walked up, you know, to the antique store, and they had this front porch area, so I was looking there first, and I grabbed this sledgehammer head. Took it inside. It didn't have a price on it, which was fine. You know, I was like, whatever. Okay, I don't have a price on it, so I'll just ask him inside. So I put it down, and I'm shopping around. Then I realized that everything in the store is really expensive. You know, so then I was like, oh, this is not a good, not a good sign. So then I walk back up to the front, and at the end, it's just a younger woman who is working behind. They had this little like a food, you know, like a counter, you know, where you could get drinks and stuff and little snacks and things and ice cream. And so she was working there, but also working the register. So I asked her about it, and I was like, well, there's not a price on it. And so she's like, well, let me call the guy, you know, Jeff or whatever, the guy who does the pricing. And so she called him, and she's like on the phone telling him a little about it and telling him the, like, how heavy it is and that it's a sledgehammer head. And he like wouldn't give her a price on the phone. He's like, well, I got it. You know, I mean, I didn't hear a side of the conversation, but it was just like he wouldn't just give a price, because he was like, well, that's the area that's like transition. I'm like getting stuff. I'm still pricing it. I'm like, come on, man. It's like a sledgehammer head. It's the handle's broken off inside the head, like in the eye. You know, it's all rusty. It's not, you know, it's, I think it was Hubbard or something. Right. But it was a big, heavy, heavy sledgehammer head, which is kind of cool if you're doing blacksmithing and you want someone to strike for you if you're going to have a striker. So someone could be using the sledgehammer head and hitting while you're holding the steel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so he wouldn't give me a price. And she was like, well, you know, you want to, he can take your number, you know, your information and give you. I was like, nah, it's fine. Not worried about it. See ya. And then she hung up the phone, and she was like, I don't know why he just couldn't give me a price. She's like, it's just an old rusty head, like sledgehammer head. Come on. Just don't you want to sell some stuff? And I was like, I know. Oh, what are you going to do?
Right. So, how many other people were in the store?
I was like, three people in the store, maybe. You know, it was like, it was funny, I was in the back looking at it, and there was tons of stuff, which was really cool. There was tons of cool stuff, and so I was like taking my time, you know, looking through everything, seeing if I could find something. And there's this guy who was walking around in a kind of section near me, and he kept going, wow, ooh, wow, oh, oh man, wow. He kept like saying, I was like, man, this guy's, I mean, I'm feeling this, but, you know, I'm not saying it out loud. He wasn't even in the tool section. I was like, come on, man. It's funny though. Wow. Ooh, yeah, wow.
Yeah, I guess when someone really, I don't know, I'm sure he really knows his stuff.
Yeah, right.
But it sometimes it takes it too far. It's like going to a vintage clothes shop instead of a thrift shop.
Right.
They yeah, know exactly. They know what's cool, and they've sorted through the stuff and found the stuff and priced it. But yeah, you're still going to pay, you know, whatever, $60 to $150 for a dress or something.
Right.
When it's just an old, like an old thing. Like, come
on. I mean, that situation, like you said, they've kind of curated the shop. They've gone through, they've done the work to get stuff, and they know what they have, which is fine. You know, if you want something vintage, then you go to like a vintage shop where you can find a cool old vintage thing. You might have to pay some money for it, but it's like a good thing. You know, it's like a Versace or something from the 60s, you know, like,
well, yeah. But,
and if I'm going into like an antique mall, like the one, like say, let's say the antique mall in Westminster, or used to be there, but they have, they had that one booth that was like really nicely curated old tools, and they were all in decent condition. Like they had been cleaned and restored and, you know, and so he was asking kind of retail price or collector's prices for it. But I expected that from that booth. You know, it's like, if I really wanted something and I was looking for it, I could probably go there and find it from him if it was worth it to pay, you know, retail or collector's prices for it. But
when
I'm in a place that's all rusty, I'm not expecting those prices. You know, it's like,
right. Cause you're still doing a lot of the work.
Right, exactly.
And that booth in Westminster was nice. I mean, it was a little expensive, but like you said, everything was ready to go.
Right, exactly.
So you could either You could either go to Home Depot and get a $30 hatchet with like a plastic handle, or his booth, a nice old hatchet, an old Craftsman hatchet, cleaned up and ready to go.
Right. Yeah.
So like he was really offering some value there.
Yeah, and pay like $40 or $45. You know, it's like if you know what you're looking for and you want to use like a nice vintage whatever tool, then I knew I could go there. But like I said, he'd done the legwork, he'd done the curating, he'd done the restoring, and you know, and so it's worth it. I understood that if I wanted something to go there, but if I didn't want to pay those prices, then I would go to the other places around the Antiques Mall that have just like the random tools on shelves that they're just throwing it there because they don't know what they have because they didn't have to do the work. They just found it and put it up, you know, they're just flipping it.
Right.
So, yeah, I was a little bitter. I ended up leaving with nothing. I was like, damn it. I just couldn't. There were like two pairs of tongs, maybe three pairs of tongs, blacksmith tongs that I thought about getting, but it was just, I couldn't get myself to pay like $35, you know, for a rusty old pair of tongs that might work well, but it just wasn't worth the price.
That's why I love an antique place with booths.
Yeah, right.
A lot of different booths all over. So because if one's too expensive, you move on to the next one. You're like, yeah, this guy's overpriced.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you find another one. Oh, this guy's got it like dialed in. I can get some deals here. I mean, that's definitely the way to go. Because you get stuck in one antique place, and it's just one owner. And you got to like call the guy. You're like, look, man. I'll give you, you should have just been like $5. Like that's
right. Yeah, exactly.
So either that's way under, which it probably is, or
like. Right. I know I probably would have like, I thought about saying that. I thought about like, cause I had a 20 in my pocket and I would have paid 20 for that sledgehammer head. Cause it was a nice, like as a good size. It was, you know, I don't have one that big, you know, I have some 8-pound sledges and stuff, which are fine, but the amount of additional force that can be generated from a striker swinging a 16-pound sledgehammer is a lot more. You know, that's like, then you're getting up to upwards of like hundreds of pounds of force coming down on your steel.
Right.
And, you know, so like I said, $20 would have been fine. And the thing is that I could probably pay like $30 or $40 to get a brand new one. You know, so I was like, but I thought about it, but I didn't even, I was just like, if he's not going to give even a price on the phone, I'm not worried about it. I'm like, it's not that big a deal. I was like, thanks, see you, peace.
Right, it's probably going to be overpriced, so I'm moving along. Either way,
I did get three axes while I was up here though. So far, we'll stop at antique stores on the way. I had my in-law's neighbor. We were over visiting him, and he had some like old tools and stuff in the basement of his house, which were there when he moved in. So he's like, I think I got some axes downstairs. So he brought one over, which is kind of cool. I didn't see any markings on it. It does have a crack going from the bottom of the axe bit where if, you know, like the lugs, so the either pointed lugs or rounded lugs, which come down on either side of the eye, you know, onto the handle. There's a crack going from where the lug starts, you know, toward the eye. So it's kind of horizontal. So I figure what I could do is maybe we could try like welding it. Maybe I can do a video on seeing if I can fix it and repair it. Mm. And if not, I'll just modify the head and make it shorter and, you know, make the whole eye shorter and cut out the crack. So I got that. And then I got two others. I got a Collins, like a more modern Collins, a Michigan pattern with phantom bevels, and then what's the other one? A Craftsman, I think a Man Craftsman 3.5-pound Dayton pattern axe I got from the antiques, the outdoor flea market here, or in Wilmington, which is right in the next town over from Bits and Dave. So I was really excited because I don't think we've ever been up here in the summer before when the actual outdoor flea market's been open. They have it every weekend here in this town. So in the town, the next town over. Yeah, I know. So we went last Sunday. It was awesome. We'll probably stop there on the way home. I'm like, yeah, we'll stop on the way. Yeah, it'll be fine.
how was your Father's Day?
It was nice. It was really nice. We just, it was really relaxed. It was great. Like, we just hung out. I think that was on Sunday, right? Yeah. So went to the flea market, got some axes. I actually got I got two axes and then a new half hatchet. And it's like a newer one from the 80s or something, but it's really clean and there's no chips out of it. And it's good. It's a really good head for modifying to making it into a bushcraft axe. So
nice.
It's a good one. So I got that for, I think, $5 or something. So, you know, I always try to see, look for the good ones that are nice and clean, because those are the best to mod, you know. And then obviously I find like more vintage ones that are cool, but yeah, it was nice. We just did that, and then we actually went to breakfast in the morning, and then we went to another kind of it's a place called Twice Blessed, which is another you know, vintage resale clothing store or whatever, but really good cheap prices on everything. I got a pair of swim trunks, just like, ooh, a dark gray swim trunks, which are nice, $5, and yeah, and then went back to the flea market, went home and had a fire and hung out and just relaxed. It was great. How about you? Nice. First Father's Day.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. Thank you. Really. Yeah, it got up and had some breakfast and got a card from Maeve. like a beer stein with a bunch of Maeve pictures on it. Because I gave Caitlin for Mother's Day a mug with with, actually for her, I gave her one picture where as you turn it, it's just three versions of it, just closer and closer. And it's Maeve making this really creepy face that we thought was funny. So I put that on hers, but, nice. So, yeah, it was
so
nice.
It was like a turning, you turn the mug and the picture changes.
Well, it was just three different photos.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
around. And I just each photo, I cropped it in closer and closer. So by the end, it's just her little weird face right up close.
That's great.
And then we had to work. We usually have Father's Day for some reason at Camden Yards. I feel like we always have a game on Father's Day. Or maybe it's Mother's Day. I think we do one or the other.
Mother's Day in the past, yeah.
Yeah, so we did that, and that was, I mean, yeah, that was work, so that was fine. And then I came home, and we got some, we went to Mission Barbecue.
Nice.
Yeah, right, and on. got some brisket and cornbread, and Maeve loved the cornbread and mac and cheese, so.
Oh,
she was nice. Sitting there, and everyone was loving on her. And trying to nice. Say hi, but yeah, man, cool. it was fun. It was nice. And then went home and relaxed and had a good time. Speaking of cheap clothes, mm-hmm. I went to Kohl's today because this weekend is my buddy Steve's wedding, which we had talked about me throwing his little bachelor party thing.
Earlier. Right on.
So. I was like, you know what? I think I want like a blue jacket with like tan pants, you know, like slacks or chinos or khaki, something like that, you know, with a dark tan.
Right.
So I don't have a nice blue kind of summery lighter coat. So I went, I was like, oh,
like a sport
cold.
Coat? Is that what you're
yeah,
going
yep,
for?
Yeah. Right. You know, a little bit dressier.
Yeah.
So we went to Kohl's and found the clearance rack, and I'm a bigger guy, so, you know, obviously right off the bat, and I got broad shoulders. We both had broad shoulders, so it's a little right. tough.
Yeah.
You know the pain. You fit into something, but the seams are kind of sitting above your shoulder a little bit and not right. hanging on the side and going straight down.
Yep.
Like a lot of T-shirts bell out because it and anyway. So, but right. I found some that fit and some were ugly, but I finally found a real nice blue one that fit pretty nice. Good. I don't know if I'll button it, you know, that might be pushing it, but.
But probably, it fits in the shoulders.
It fits
good.
It looks
everything
real
else.
Nice.
Yeah, right.
yeah, so I'll just, you know, it's summer. I don't have to button it.
Yeah, right.
But, so I was looking, I was expecting not to spend too much, but it is a sport coat.
Right.
So yeah. I was like, yeah, maybe, and it's Kohl's. I was like, I don't know, maybe it'll be $100.
Right, yeah.
I was thinking that. And I did need some new, like, slacks, too.
Right. So you're thinking you're going in, you might spend anywhere between, like, $75 and $125 or something like that, right?
Around there, you know.
Yeah, right. Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully. So I go, and I find the one on clearance, and it's, like, one of the ones that fits good. The rest of them weren't any good.
Right.
And it's marked down. Well, this, now, if people don't know, Kohl's is a store that marks everything way up, and then they bring it, then they hit you with sales all the time.
Yeah, right.
Right? So they'll hit you with such a high price that any, then they bring it down halfway.
Right.
You think you're getting a huge steal, but it's still kind of probably where it should be in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So they'll say a pair of jeans for $120, and you're like, whoa. And they're like, yeah. They're like, but it's half off. So you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
But,
yeah.
But you know, you're still paying $60 for a pair of jeans.
I got it for half off.
That, yeah. That you go out thinking, yeah, I got a deal. But so I look at the tag, $24.
Nice.
I was like, whoa. I was like, heck yeah. And you know how you could see the clearance, like multiple stickers put on top of it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was joking with Caitlin. I'm like, thank God for my weird shaped, big, kind of big, long torso, short leg body. Like right. no one can fit in this. But nice. So, awesome. I picked that up, and then I got some pants, and then I got a shirt. And you never know with shirts and two dress shirts, you know what I mean? They could be $25 or they could be $75. Just depends.
Right, exactly.
And yeah. I don't really care. I'm only going to wear it once. I just need a clean white shirt that doesn't have a sweat stain on the collar. You know?
Right. Yeah, jeez. I hear you.
So I'm like, just give me a clean white shirt. And I picked one up and went up. I wasn't sure how much stuff would be. So I got pants, the shirt, and the jacket. I guess I shouldn't have told you the jacket price right off.
Right, yeah.
I was going to say, what do you think was most expensive?
Probably the white shirt.
That's a good guess. But, so
the pants.
She scans the jacket first.
Right.
It comes up. It's $16. So a sport coat.
Nice.
Nice. Really nice blue. Really nice material. Yeah.
Like what cut? What kind of blue? Like a dark, like a...
No, a lighter blue.
Oh.
You know, kind of a summery, nice, bright, light
okay.
blue coat.
Nice, right on.
That looks good with like khakis and you know, maybe a red tie or something.
Right,
know?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, okay.
And that's $16 and the shirt was down from it was priced at $55, but it dropped to like $25.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, cool. And the pants come up bip bip $77, no sale.
Oh, what?
I was like, oh, they got me.
Oh, dang. Got you in the pants.
It dropped, but I was like, whatever. Everything
you
else.
You couldn't get like a, yeah, I guess so, right. Yeah.
I tried like four pairs on, and that was that was by far the most comfortable,
right,
and it looked
the
best. And I was like, I think the deal I saw on the screen was it was buy one, get another one half off. So it still had a deal attached to it, but I wasn't going to buy another one.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Especially for whatever, 30-some dollars. I was like, but I was like, you know, the jacket was $16 and the shirt was like $25.
Right, yeah.
I was already expecting to pay at least $100 for the jacket. So I was like, whatever, $111. Like, I think we're good. But I thought so I was going to get away spending like under $50 and that thing hit $77. I was like,
gotcha. What brand? What brand pants were they? Why were they so expensive?
They were like Dockers or something.
Oh, man. Dang.
I don't know. I think that's another way Kohl's does it.
Yeah.
They will discount a bunch of stuff and then hit you with one with like that full price.
Yep.
But
yeah, I got, When we were in Weston going to the Trout Club, we actually stopped at the Vermont Country Store, which is really cool. It's this like, it's I think it's been around since like the 50s, but I think it's the Orton, Orton, I think it is the Orton family, which started it. And so because they've been in business for so long, they have their own line of clothing. Like they have stuff that's Orton clothing. So you know, and it's all like a, you know, New England Country Store price, which. It's like if you go into like an L.L. Bean or, you know, so you're going to get like a T-shirt, which is like $30 and like pants, which are like 80, you know, like a jacket or a sweater is going to be like $100 or something. So, you know, it's more than I'm going to pay for stuff unless I see something that I absolutely love. You know, they had some really nice like plaid shirts, but they were all like $75. You know, I was like, I'm not going to pay $75 for a plaid shirt, even if it's really nice, you know.
Right.
So I'm looking through and we're going around and we buy a bunch of stuff because they have this like cool section, which is all like old candy, you know, like vintage candy stuff, you know, so penny candy area and stuff. So we got a bunch of that. We got some other stuff. We're walking all these cool, like fun little like toys and stuff. And it's a big store because it's like all these buildings that have been kind of attached together. So it's a sprawling store and there's like good food and stuff. And they have one section where there's like a stairway that goes upstairs and it says like sale area. So I went up there and I started looking around, and then it's actually like reasonable prices for the stuff. You know, it's like all the stuff. It's like a small room, but you know, it's where the sales are. So I ended up getting a like a cotton, kind of a heavier cotton knit V-neck sweater, like a gray V-neck sweater, for $15 down from 50. So it was like perfect. I was like, yes,
yeah,
it's just nice. It's like heavy. It feels heavier, you know, than like a normal V-neck sweater. So it's nice. I was pumped. They had a navy blue one too, which was. I like that one a little bit better, but it was like 20 down from 50. So I was like, I like the gray one too. I'll take the additional $5 off. But we like, so I got that, and then Nicole got like a tote bag, which had like the map of Vermont on it and stuff. And then we got a bunch of candy and snacks and stuff. I ended up spending like $100 in there, but it was fun. It's like, it's a fun experience, you know, cause it's a pretty famous place. So it was fun to go through.
Yeah.
And Vermont is, they're at 80% for vaccinated. They're 80%. So all of Vermont now is no masks. Like it's there are places that will still have signs that say like mask optional, but no one's wearing masks. So it's been really nice.
Well, that's kind of how Maryland is now.
Yeah. Everybody's getting there. It's funny because we went down to, like I said, we went to Vermont and New Hampshire. Over the last 2 days, and just kind of went into places without even thinking about it, because we've been in Vermont for, you know, 5 or 6 days now, and just like went into different stores and stuff, and yeah, no one's wearing masks. It's really nice. It's nice to be kind of back to normal. It's still like, there's like a few times we were a little hesitant, you know, like we were like looking for signs just in case, but you know, it is nice.
I think people giving other people a little more distance in general is a good thing.
Right, exactly.
Nothing worse than someone's right up behind you, and you're like, "What do we do? We're standing in line. Why are you a foot away from me?"
Right, exactly. Back off, we're all now conditioned to be a little. Yeah, everyone's kind of giving everybody a little more space. You feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah, now all you have to do is cough a little bit, and you'll back them right off. I don't know what it is. My throat, my head.
It's hot in here. Anybody else hot?
Man, that breakfast I had wasn't very good. Like. Didn't have much taste. I don't know what it was.
I can't smell anything. Do you smell anything? Does this smell weird to you? Because I can't smell it at all.
I swear I farted earlier and I got nothing. Anyway.
All of a sudden you're the only person in the room.
Yeah. All right. Hey.
But yeah, that's funny. I actually, speaking of Vermont things, I went to this kind of little you know, little store in the town next, that's like the closest store to where my in-laws live, in the little town next to them, like 5 or 6 minutes ago away, called Jacksonville. And the little store there has, you know, it's like a little meat place and deli, and it's got, you know, different things around, but it has a really awesome selection of beer that's all local beer. All Vermont, and I guess they have some stuff that's like other New England things, but there's just like so many good New England beers and like little breweries and stuff. So the beers that I'm drinking tonight, right now I'm drinking a beer called Rattler, and it's from the Von Trapp Brewing, which is in Stowe, Vermont,
Austria,
and it's yeah, right. It's called Rattler Trail Beer Lager with Grapefruit, and it is delicious. It says a little of Austria, a lot of Vermont. It's funny. As soon as I opened it, I like popped the can, I took a sip. It smelled like Vermont, which smells like marijuana. It's like, because it's legal in Vermont. But like something about the grapefruit and the beer together, the hoppiness or something, was like very, very much like not like. Like pot smoke, you know, what you smell when people are smoking it, but like the leaves, you know, like the actual pot leaves have like that kind of earthy, you know, dank smell to them. So I was like, yeah, that's crazy. This is Vermont beer, all right. But it's good. And then the other one I have is, it's actually a cider. It's called Shaxbury Dry Cider, made in Vermont.
Are they both six packs?
They were actually both, the one was a six pack, the other one was a four pack.
So a six pack is, let me guess, you paid 10 for the four and $12.99 for the six.
Those are both good guesses, but I couldn't tell you the price because I didn't see them on there.
Oh, you're on your own, there were so many, vacation.
Yeah, exactly. There were so many
money's good ones.
I
no,
was just like looking through.
I don't money's care. No object. I'll have it all.
Well, I got the ciders because Nicole likes ciders, so I got that. And then I like grapefruit beer, so I got the Rattler. And then the other one I got was called, Angry Wench or something. It's just this like vintage painting on... or Grumpy Wench, I forget what, something like that. But it was a hazy, and that was another four pack. Those, so I got, what's that, 14 beers, and then I got a thing of sriracha aioli from Stonewall Kitchen, and I got eggs, because that's why I went there, was to get eggs. Eggs and beer. And I think those the beer, the eggs, and the Stonewall Kitchen stuff, which is kind of expensive, was like $50 for everything. So
$3 for eggs.
Yeah, right, exactly. And probably maybe like $7, you know, or $8 for the Stonewall Kitchen stuff, the sriracha aioli. So that's $10. So $40 in beer for 14 beers. So, yeah. Yeah, it's all like cool. There were so many cool craft beers, though. It's just like the whole, it wasn't even a big cooler, but they had tons of, you know, four and six packs of all different stuff. I was just going to get like a regular 12 pack of something, like Sam Adams, was it the Sam Summer, which is pretty good. I almost got that, you know, spent like $16 or $17 or something.
Yeah.
But actually we were, so when we went over to New Hampshire to visit with Nicole's uncle and then also with her aunt and grandmother, that we went out to dinner to the Smutty Nose Brewing, Smutty Nose Brewery, which is another, New Hampshire beer, nice. Smutty Nose beer. So we went to that brewery and had dinner and had a flight, and they were doing trivia, which was fun. And then we ended up picking up a mixed 12 pack, and taking that back to Howard's place, which is where we stayed last night. And I drank one beer last night, you know, before bed or whatever. We were just hanging out, and then left this morning, went and visited her grandmother and aunt, and drove home and ended up leaving the beer in his fridge. So I was like, oh, man, my 12-pack is now an 11-pack. And he's not drinking anything right now. He's not drinking alcohol. So he's like, well, I was like, well, you got beer in your fridge. So if you have friends over, you'll have some.
Right.
Yeah, he texted us, and we were like, we were 10 minutes down the highway going like the opposite direction, you know? And I was like, nah, we're turning around. It's not worth it. Not for like, you know, $16 12 pack, you know?
Right. Yeah, well.
Yeah. So that's why I paid a whole bunch of money for other beers. But that's okay. They're good stuff.
So we got some projects in the works. Like people know, we shot the two. I've edited the, or not, no, I have not edited. I started editing The drill doctor. I don't know if I can have it done. Well, actually, no. I got the wedding and stuff. I know. I'm a little slow in the editing this week, but...
Right. That's all right.
Yeah, I've been working the last 6-7 days. It's been two homestands.
Right. Yeah.
But, we got that going, and then the axe, and you've sent that back. Right.
Yeah. Right. So I boxed it up and sent it back to John Nagel on Friday. And originally, I think the date it was supposed to be to him by Monday. Mm. It was like a 3 to 4 day, just standard shipping. So he and I had been like chatting back and forth since Monday, and it had been like missing, delayed shipping and all this stuff and. So you're just kind of joking about where it might be and keep saying like in transit, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So Tuesday we're talking and then, you know, going Wednesday and Thursday. You know, and then I think it was yesterday. This is Wednesday. At 8 PM he checked it and it said, your item arrived at our Linthicum Heights, Maryland distribution center on June 23rd. At 8 p.m. So it went from Hunt Valley to Linthicum, Maryland to Maryland, and it took a week or, you know, 6 days.
So they lost it.
Right, exactly. So in like 5 days, you know, it's supposed to be to Michigan where John is, you know, by Monday. So
is it, what was it, USPS?
Yeah. Yeah, just USPS. Yeah, so that was, yeah, he sent me a thing. It was like, 4 days to get to this distribution center in Maryland. LOL. So, like, oh, well. But well, we're just glad that it was somewhere, you know.
Right.
Like,
at least it's not lost.
Yeah, he said he sent a knife or something to a client from Michigan to Florida one time. And it was like 3 weeks later, he got a notification that it was in New Mexico. He's like, wait,
oh my
what?
Gosh.
So, but it ended up making it back. But we were laughing, kind of, you know, just commenting back and forth, sending messages and texts and stuff. But yeah, so that's on its way and should be there hopefully soon. It's in Linthicum, in the distribution center in Linthicum on Tuesday. So today is Thursday. We'll see if it gets there by this week.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The other thing that he asked, which is really cool, he asked me if I wanted... If I would like for him to etch our maker's mark in the head as well as his, because he still had to etch his logo. I'm like, that's super cool. I was like, I appreciate it. And, you know, I kind of told him that I had thought about, you know, doing some, you know, we've talked about doing some type of stamp that can be heated up to like either compressed leather or burn onto wood, do things like that. So
right.
I had told him I thought about doing that, like up on the end of the handle or something. But yeah, so I sent him a. An image of our logo, so he's got a printer to print out. He'll print out a little thing and they'll etch it on the blade for us, so it'll be on there with
cool.
His. Yeah, it's super cool. I was like, that's awesome.
You didn't have to do that.
I know. That's what I said. Like, that's...
You're like, hey, you keep making these Damascus things, I'll attach some wood to it and we right, both exactly. Get split credit, even though the handle is sweet and you do them from scratch. That's a
right.
whole different thing. But still,
right, exactly,
he's
yeah.
He worked for days on this Damascus with 75 layers.
Yeah, right. And we're like, yeah, spent a day to put a handle on it. But like you say, yeah, obviously it's a nice handle.
And it's cool. I mean, it's something cool, and it's a nice. I think it'd be cool for the person who gets it to like, oh, it's like a collaboration with these two people.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
cool
it will be
idea.
Cool. And then they'll also have the like the video attached to their, you know, axe
head.
That's
true.
Their axe. So they'll be able to show that with what they have and, you know, John's stuff from his Instagram and all. And
we have John sent us some him describing the process he went through, and we got some photos from him too, so I'll definitely put that. We're going to put that in the beginning of the axe video to have the maker himself describe it so you can hear it and then, you know, go over to his Instagram and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'll be cool. And he said like when he gets, he's going to do a little video of like an unboxing or something. So I'm sure we'll see when we get that and, you know, get that over and either put that on Instagram or put it in the video. We'll, depending on, you know, how it fits in, but yeah, that's cool. I'm just excited. It's fun to do something like that with people. So.
What's his Instagram handle?
Nagel. It's Nagel House Forge. It's NAGEL. And its house is in like the German spelled HAUS, Nagel House Forge. I think there's some underscores and stuff, but if you look up John Nagel on Instagram, you'll find him. Nagel House Forge.
Cool.
Yeah, he's cool. See, that was good. So you got those are done and that's in the works. Hopefully it actually gets to him sooner rather than later.
Right.
Yeah. But
and then future projects, we haven't really talked about it. Well, the next one I guess will be the leather sheath.
Yeah,
the
we'll
sling.
Do the leather sling. Yep, for the axe, for the mm-hmm. axe for Corinne. Yeah, and then
I know Caitlin really wants a toy box.
Oh,
now we
right,
can decide
yeah.
whether to do it. I mean, we'd have to probably do it in the next couple ones.
Right. Yeah.
Because we're getting more and more toys very quickly, and since Maeve is on the move, she's spreading them farther and farther apart.
That's cool. Yeah, we can do that. And I like you had the idea of doing like a soft open, soft close lid,
yeah.
which I think is really cool. You know, so you kind of you can push up on it, it'll go up on its own, and then you push down, it'll do a soft close. So it's not slamming on kids' fingers and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, that'll be really cool. And that's you know not super hard, but that's a fun project that you know I think it'll make a good video and people, you know, that's something that a lot of people want and use. Just like you know. Easy ways to build boxes, you know,
right.
that are usable. Even if it's like you want to build a, you know, like an ottoman for your living room with a lid, you know, so you store stuff in it, or, you know, a coffee table with a lid, or a toy box, you know, or whatever.
Right.
You know? So
right.
It's a good kind of a universal thing that people like, and people want to make their own versions of those. So that's,
yeah,
that'd be cool. Speaking of woodwork and furniture, I was, when we were at Howard's, he's just moved into a new place. And right as you walk in his door, he's got like the kitchen off to the right, and there's like a bar, you know, that divides the kitchen from the dining room area. It's all like open concept. And at the end of the bar, he had brought a cooler. So he kind of put the cooler there right at the end of the bar, you know, and ended up using, was like sitting on the cooler off and on to put on his shoes and take off his shoes and stuff. So I had mentioned that he needed a little bench there. So I want to build him a little wooden bench to go on the end of his bar, like, a, you know, 2 feet wide by a foot deep, just a small bench to sit down on and have it there. So it'll look nicer than his little, you know, cooler there cool. sit on. But it's like nice. It's a good convenient spot, and it's not like, doesn't stick too far out into the walkway. You know, it's easy. It's right there next to his front door, next to, like, he has a door that goes into a garage and the door that goes down to the basement. So they're all like right there. And then that little, you know, bench would be there. A nice little thing to make, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. So we want to talk about summer guests, since we're in summer mode, and we want to talk about the timber in you're going to try to get to.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we talked to a couple people to have on the podcast. So a little sneak peek of who we have in the works coming up. We have William Evans, Evan Watson, and his his name is Evan Watson. His company is William Evans Designs.
Okay.
And he does hand engraving, and he's the hand engraver on Instagram. But reached out to him, and he was really busy coming up to Blade Show, so he. I'd love to be on, you know, sounds awesome. He's a fan of the podcast, so he was pumped to be on, but he was like, you know, just give me a little time. I'm doing a ton of work for Blade Show and whatnot. So we reached out to him. Our cousin Jesse, you know, we reached out to him, and he was also really busy at the time. It was right around Mother's Day, and he works part time in a flower shop, you know, like a nursery. And so obviously the busiest time in the year if you're working in the flower business. Mother's Day. So he was really busy then, but, you know, we just had to reach back out and get him on the schedule. So that'll be fun. He's a woodworker, and he has a company called Companion Pipes. He makes handmade pipes.
Oh yeah.
And, kind of more old fashioned tobacco smoking pipes. And, so we've talked about him on the podcast before. He was one of my recommendations at one point. So I'm going to have him on. Brian Cohn from B Cohn Knives. Reached out to him. He definitely wants to be on the podcast, so that would be fun. I think JD Knives is another guy. I haven't actually talked to him about it, but I've kind of talked back and forth to him. He actually commented on our podcast from last week, where we recorded the podcast together in the shop. It's like the first time we've been together for the podcast in, you know, quite a long time. And at one point you were talking, and I was like staring at you while you were talking, and I just like burped into the mic, just like, right. We both started laughing, and he said he was cracking up. He said it reminded him of when he was a kid in church, you know, with his brothers, and like somebody would fart and they would like try to, you know, not laugh in church. So that's JD Custom Knives. So
right.
Yeah, to talk to him, but I haven't actually asked him about it, but you know, I'm sure he would. It'd be fun to have him on, and he's a good knife maker.
Well, if he's listening now, the pressure's on. Now it's out there.
There you go. He's like, I'm not gonna be on that podcast. Jeez. Yeah. So we got some cool people on, like different makers and stuff. And I'd actually like to get Clay Hayes back on. We'll see how his internet situation works, because that was a little tricky to get, you know, him on the first time. But since now we all know that he's been on Alone, on season, whatever
right.
it is, season 8 of Alone, it's a couple episodes in, so maybe we'll wait till later in the seasons or something, because we wouldn't, you know, if he came on in the middle of the season and he was still one of the contestants, he couldn't tell us
about the other episodes
and all, so.
Yeah, it depends how well he does. He might be too big for us if he wins it. He might go on a bunch of different. I remember there was one guy. There was one guy who won. He won alone once,
right?
And then he went on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Ah, yeah.
So you know, he went right to the top.
Well, I will say that when we had Clay on earlier this year, it was after he was already on alone.
What? But no one knew.
But no one knew, right?
So big dogs weren't searching him out.
Yeah, well, we've already had him on now, so now he's our friend.
And he's going to say that was such a terrible experience.
I know.
Trying to connect and talk on our phones. He's like, I don't know about those guys.
It turned out good. It was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. So those are the guys we have coming up. And then, yeah, we were talking about the Timber Inn. So at the Blackthorn Resort, if you guys are familiar with the Maker Camp up at Blackthorn, which, Jimmy Dester was a part of. It's up near his place up in New York and has helped out and helped to advertise and bring people in and on. A lot of awesome people have been there, but, Justin Dietrich. Yeah. It was, one of our guests on the podcast a while back. He has done a couple classes, like blacksmithing classes up at Jimmy's place, and then is also was at the Maker Camp, and I think he went the first year. I don't think he presented the first year, but then the last year in 2020 they didn't actually have the Maker Camp, but they did a virtual Maker Camp.
Right.
So they had all these live streams and stuff, and I think he was doing a timber framing thing then. And so this year's Maker Camp in October, they'll be actually building a structure, a timber frame structure. But Justin is going to be going up in July 16th to 18th, and doing a bunch of prep on the timbers. So, doing a bunch of the joints and cutting stuff down and shaping things and getting things ready to be able to build over the week of the Maker Camp weekend. So the Maker Camp sent out a thing saying, if there are makers who are interested, come on by and help out, bring some tools, come with helping hands and help us prep.
Right.
So
Justin
will be there. Yeah.
You can help, but they also, which was, I thought was really nice, was they said no experience necessary.
Right. Exactly.
So just come learn. It doesn't cost anything.
Right.
Pitch in, be there to work and help. But, what a cool thing, man. And I really wanted to go, and Dustin can't go all the days. And I was thinking, maybe I'll go and I'll just shoot and learn. We talked earlier on the pod, not earlier, but a few months ago about me trying to learn timber framing. I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
I already know Justin. He does great work. And
yeah,
I was like, maybe I'll go and learn and also shoot stuff. Cause we plan to go on the Maker Fest Fair or whatever.
Yeah. Going to Maker Camp in October.
Right.
Yep.
As well. So to have that footage, we could use it, put it in a video, but
right.
Sadly, I have a couple things. We got, it seemed, all the plans for this summer all came onto that weekend. So I got family pictures with the wife's family, and I got a baby shower and another thing. I don't know.
And
so I can't go.
Yeah. And so the same thing for me. We had our kind of annual family get together up at Lake George, New York. Which was that same weekend, but it just so happens that the Blackthorn is only an hour and a half south of Lake George, New York. So I'll be going down Saturday morning, which is the 17th. So if you're in the area, you want to come and hang out and help out and do some timber framing, and if you want to meet me, I'll be there on July 17th. I'll probably be there, I would say, around 9 or so. I'll probably stay from 9 to 12, 9 to 1, something like that, help out for a couple hours and hang out and meet some people, and then head back up, because I will be obviously on vacation and with my family and a big group of family and friends and stuff. I don't want to stay too long, but I could not pass up the opportunity to go down and meet Justin and hang out and help out and do some timber framing and meeting a bunch of people. So that'd be fun.
So he'll be there from 9 to 4 p.m. That's my guess. Everyone can put in their wagers for the over under how long he stays.
Get up at and 5 it, in the morning.
You guys,
I'll be
you
there
guys
at 7:30.
Yeah. You guys okay? Everything. I can bring you guys dinner. Talking to the wife. Look, so it's all right. I'll bring you guys some stuff. I'll bring you dinner. I'll just stay here until 6 or 7. But
I'll be back.
Are also going to send probably Well, we're thinking about, well, we're going to get either a new GoPro or
right.
Or I'll you know, we'll just send the camera with you, and Dustin will do his first camera work on the channel.
Yeah, I'll get some footage and hang out, and mm-hmm. that way we'll have some stuff, and that way when we go back up in October, we'll be able to put together a full video, you know, depending on what we do, whether that'll be like a video talking to people or just a video of, you know, just a kind of, you know, just a bunch of shots of what's going on and hang out with people and say,
yeah, we still have to plan that out. I definitely don't want it to be all we're there for to do, like to make content. That's not right. our interest necessarily.
Right. Exactly.
Maybe document it. Maybe we can think of, maybe you can talk to some people like Justin or whoever wants to chat.
Right.
You know, at night when we're all camping or hanging out.
Yeah.
Maybe do a little, but I don't want to be bothering everyone with a camera all the time.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, I think, but that's also the thing that, you know, at a lot of these maker events, there are a lot of content creators.
I guess,
you know,
that's
true. Whether they're YouTubers or just people who make things, will, in this day and age, almost all use Instagram as free advertisement, right? So when you're like, you're documenting, you're making stuff and you're going to places where there's other makers and you're meeting people, you know, a lot of people do that. Now, obviously, a lot of people will also just not do any of that stuff while they're there, because you get kind of into the groove of hanging out with people and talking and chatting and meeting people. And then, you know, a day and a half is gone. You're like, oh, I haven't taken any pictures or done any video. I got to do something, you know, so. So we'll see, but yeah, you know, we'll talk about how we want to do that. But really, yeah, it's there to go and to meet people and hang out and network and just, you know, just be part of the community. It's, you know, one that's relatively easy for us to get to. I think that's probably 6 or 7 hours from Baltimore. So easy drive up in the morning, you know, head up in the morning and stay for, you know, whatever, Friday night, Saturday night, and come back on Sunday. It'll be awesome. So yeah, so the Timber Inn is in July 16th through 18th. That one is free. So if you want to come and hang out, I'll be there on Saturday, but Justin and will be there and he'll be leading and everybody will working on the timber stuff for the weekend. And then the Maker Camp is October. I think it's the 10th, maybe something like that. The 10th, 11th, 12th or something like that, that weekend. And then that's not free, but you know, there'll be tons of presenters there and, you know, different makers and stuff. And so if you go to, Maker Camp on Instagram, you can search Maker Camp, and I think it's what's it called, it's Maker, I was just looking at it, what is it,
yeah, just search Blackthorn Resort. Yeah.
And
also all these big guys' Instagrams and stuff talk about it, Duresta and all these other people.
It's the Maker Camp on Instagram, and it's the Catskill Maker Camp. Catskill Mountain Maker Camp, because they have a specific Instagram for the Maker Camp specifically, but then also the Blackthorn Resort, they have their own as well, but they do a bunch of other stuff. So,
no, that's cool. Exciting. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun kind of just building more and more into this community and doing fun stuff. And so we actually get to meet some of these cool people who, you know, I've been interested in meeting for a long time, and now Devin, you know, with like just your connections through what we do with this and the people I talk about, now you know about all these people that I've been kind of following and meet in the maker world. And
yeah, the good thing, I know more and more people because of Instagram, I follow people who basically follow the Art of Craftsmanship.
Right.
They follow me through the podcast, or somehow they've heard Dustin mention my name once or twice on the YouTube channel.
Right, yeah.
So it's more and more in my brain, but I think it's good that if we do go to some of these things, if Dustin's slightly, I wouldn't say starstruck, but you'll definitely be like, oh, that's blah, blah, blah. Oh, cool, that's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'll just, I won't be bothered.
Like, right.
I'll be able to stay calm no matter who.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, oh, okay, hey. Or, you know, or I'll be talking to someone else and be like, you know who that was? I'm like, no.
Yeah, right, exactly. That was Derek from Malden. That was,
I,
you know,
blah, I have blah, no, blah, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Seemed nice enough.
Yeah. Yeah, Right. Yeah. So that'll be fun. Hey, that is funny though. Yeah. She's like, <"Da-da-da." laughs> yeah. All the guys, what's it? The Modern Forge guys will be there. That's like, Jeff Fader and Jesse Savage and a bunch of guys, you know, a bunch of blacksmiths and stuff. That'll be cool. And so, yeah, it's going to be a blast. Last time.
So yeah, you'll have to point to who I need shots of.
Yeah, that person. That's a famous okay. person. You know, like last time,
get in their face.
Laura Kampf was there 2 years ago in 2019.
Yeah, I do know she's her.
A,
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, she's a good friend of Jimmy's and.
Been on Tested and all that stuff, and on Adam Savage's show.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Which is a shame. Which I don't think they're going to have another season.
What do you mean? Oh, the
there was a Savage. I think it's called Savage Works
Builds,
or
Savage Builds. Right. Yeah.
It was just like a higher production value version of his show.
Right.
Or not even not his YouTube channel. Not maybe higher production. It was, you know, there's just more money in it.
Right.
He could do bigger things, basically.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it was kind of a mix of like MythBusters and what he does on Tested. Like the one day builds, but just like, hey, let's build fun stuff. Yeah, she had like Simone Gertz and Lara Kampf on building.
Yeah, right.
And he building like Mad Demolition Max. Derby, Mad Max cars. Right. Yeah, there's
stuff
cool.
where you need someone writing you like $100,000 check.
Right.
Yeah, like exactly. making an Iron Man suit and
yeah.
He did a I don't know what they call it. It's what do you call a wheel that spins real fast and then you let it go? I don't know exactly what it was, but anyway, I know that's a bad description. But it's it was something they wanted to use in World War II, and they would spin it.
Right.
Or no, maybe I or anyway, man, this I'm all right. Just move on from that, but it's a
riveting
a big
content.
Giant, it's a big giant wheel that would spin really fast, and then you'd kind of let it go, and you could attach bombs to it, basically.
Right, and it would like the momentum would go carry it wherever you
right,
were.
Right, right, right. Cylindrical force. Cool. I don't know.
Centrifugal
exactly,
force. Or, yeah, right. but yeah, so that'll be fun, and we'll see. Yeah, and obviously there'll be a bunch of cool makers and stuff there, and you know, no matter who makes it, but I think. You know, because 2019 went really well, and then 2020, I think it may have gotten more hype because people were waiting, and like then they were going to have it, and then they weren't going to have it, and then they were, and then they decided not to, and then they did the virtual. So I think this year it'll obviously be bigger, but you know, we'll see. Excuse me, we'll see how much bigger. But you know, it'll be interesting, but I still feel like it's small enough to be more intimate. You know, you can actually like talk to people and hang out, and it's not like, you know, it's not like 5,000 people, you know, it might be 500 people, you know, so
yeah,
like,
I don't know,
visitors as well as presenters. So we'll see.
I feel like it will be a lot bigger just because, like you said, that people have been talking about and people are really ready to do stuff.
Yeah, right.
People are over it, and everybody's saying you don't, you know, need the masks, and everyone's getting their most people are getting their shots, and blah 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 blah. So I think people really be ready to let loose.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's the other reason to do it is that, you know, people just want to get out and do stuff, things they missed last year, and I think that's also a lot of people got used to. Not doing stuff where in the past they would have done a lot of stuff, and then you say, "Oh, this is kind of nice. We've kind of had a break," but now people are over the break. They're like, "Okay, now we're ready." You know, like it's kind of nice to hang out and not really have to go to a bunch of stuff and be able to just do a bunch of stuff on my own. You know, like a lot of content creators have said that people are used to going to different conferences and events and stuff, and we're like, "Oh, this is kind of nice this year. We just got to hang out and just make more content and put stuff out there." So, but I think people are ready now. They're ready.
Yep. They are ready, and we will be there.
Yes, sir. All right. Do you have a recommendation, Devin, this week for our listeners?
I'll say my wife will be watching some shows, and I either, like, half interested in some of them or not. But right. sometimes I do get hooked into shows that I wouldn't normally watch. Things like The Crown on Netflix, which is so, so good.
Yeah, right, that's good.
That's a free recommendation there. About the royals and Queen Elizabeth and her family and all that. And that's a great show. If you haven't seen that, it's awesome. But so I got into that. And then I got into, this is my recommendation. I think I talked to you the other week about Dust, Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah, right.
Now, that's it's a BBC show. It was on PBS. I'm sure if you know it, maybe it's a lot of women like it. But it's kind of a period piece thing like they do on the BBC. You know, they all dress up and do like the English manners and blah, blah, blah. But
right.
it's just really good. And I was a little upset. Today I came after dinner. She put on, you ever see Shameless?
The movie Shameless, or is it a show?
No, it's a show with, anyway, a bunch of, it's really good, but it's totally different. It's like right. really dirty and funny and grimy and
right.
like a family in Chicago. It's really good. But I was like, I was watching Downton. Like last time you were on like season 5, like what happened? I was like following along, and she's like, "Oh no, I'm done." So now I'm gonna have to go back and watch the whole thing by myself and be sitting there watching Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey, yeah. But I have watched.
It's good. It's really good quality stuff. It's like it's a little drama, but it's funny and kind of clever, and it's interesting. So you know, it's about the upstairs of the house and everyone in the downstairs, and it's just a good BBC costume drama thing. So there you go.
Yeah. And the amount of authenticity that they put into that was like super, super good. So, you know, they had all the people who were like period accurate, you know, like this, if you're going to do it, this is the way the aristocracy would have lived. This is like everything would be perfect. The people who, you know, all the servants and stuff would have done and known everything exactly this way, you know, so you had the like the people who were the authenticators to make everything perfect. And so it was like a lot of work that went, a lot of the behind the scenes was kind of
cool. And they had access to Downton, which was cool. I think, I think that's what it might be called, something different. I forget, but they shot there and, just a great cast. What's the older woman?
Maggie.
She was in a bunch of stuff.
Right. Yeah. She was Professor
McGonagall.
McGonagall in Harry Potter. Yeah. Maggie something. Yeah.
Maggie.
But her
character's great. It's good. So.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can surprise your wives out there, or wives surprise your husbands, and watch Downton.
Downton Abbey. All right. Well, my recommendation this week is actually another podcast.
I thought you were going to say another period piece.
Another period piece called
another BBC show.
Schmountain Schmabby.
It's not as good.
No, it's actually, so I just popped on Instagram. And the other thing about being up here in Vermont is that there's no cell service at my in-laws' house. Now they have Wi-Fi, and so I can do anything over Wi-Fi, like, you know, iMessage for other iPhones and stuff works fine. And then obviously Devin and I, you and I use Facebook Messenger most of the time, which works fine over the internet. But because of that, I'm not like checking my social media stuff as much, and because we're up here on vacation. But I popped onto Instagram today, and I saw Brian House from Housework on YouTube and the Work For podcast. He is actually a guest on the Essential Craftsman podcast, which is another really awesome YouTube channel, the Essential Craftsman. So check out that. That's again, that's called the Essential Craftsman podcast, and it's episode 82. It's called The Ultimate Shop Tool 2x72 Grinders with Brian House. So a little love for Brian, a little love for the Essential Craftsman. So check out that. It looks pretty cool. I haven't listened to it yet. I just saw it today. So hopefully it's good. I'm not sending you all something. So next week, my recommendation will be the same thing, because now I have watched it like you. Or I'll be like, really? It was really good. You got to go check it out now. But it's funny because I know they had a podcast, and I've kind of been wanting to listen to it. But, you know, I have other podcasts, and I just, you know, when when I see it, I'll be like, oh, that might be a cool podcast to listen to. But then if I don't actively do it right away, like most things, you know, it just kind of slips my mind. So this gives me a reason to listen to their podcast. So if you guys watch The Essential Craftsman, the main talent, right, is Scott. That's the older, that's the father. And then his son, Nate, does all the camera work and, you know, they do the channel together like you and I do. So the podcast is the two of them. Sometimes it's one or the other doing, you know, guests with other people, you know. But it's Nate and Scott talking with Brian. So
trying to creep in on our family style podcast.
I know, right? Yeah, they tried to creep in like 30 episodes before we started ours.
Well, jerks. Good luck. That's real sneaky of them to do it before us, too.
It was funny when I first
Your angle. Started before we do and started, then kind of do make us do. Copy you. I see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was actually a commenter on one of our videos at one point was like, oh, I love your work, blah, blah, blah. I can definitely tell that you're also influenced by The Essential Craftsman. I was like, by the who? And I like went and looked up their channel. I was like, whoa, this guy's awesome, you know. And that's when we put out, you know, not then, but later, you know, whatever videos later, we put out the video on the brick forge, you know, like the easy built brick forge that we built. And he put out his video like 3 or 4 days before us of the same thing, the brick forge.
Yeah.
We're like, you know, you should come up with your own ideas. Like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We shot this and put it all together in 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish we could have that speed.
Right. Yeah, we can't do what we did last week every week. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And that was just shooting it. So.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, that was good. So, yeah, well, next week. That's the other thing I wanted to say is that we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary. How many weeks in a year? Is it 52 weeks in a year? We're on episode 50. So I think technically next week is our 1 year anniversary of the Art of Craftsmanship podcast because we skipped Easter. So either next week or the following week, I think we're going to probably do an episode with the brothers again. So
okay,
celebrate our 1 year with all four brothers, and we'll see how that happens. But it's coming up. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, it'd be fun. All right, well, that's it. Thank you guys all for listening. Make sure that if you do like, always you can go over to whichever platform you're listening to and give us a rating or write a review. All that stuff really helps to spread the word. You know, share it, tell your friends about us. You know, all those things help. We really like doing the podcast, and we like that there's the people in the community that are like-minded are listening. So if you're out there and you're listening, we know you're listening and we really appreciate it. And for anyone who wants to help, and those, all of you who do, if anybody else wants to help and support what we do on the Art of Craftsmanship on our channel and the podcast, you can always go over to Instagram. Go over to Patreon and, you know, support us there. Patreon.com/TheArtOfCraftsmanship. And you can follow us on Instagram, The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy. And just listen and like and hang out and come and, you know, meet us either at the Timber Inn or the Maker Camp. We'll be at both of those events this year. So, all right, everybody. It's been a blast as always. Thank you all so much for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.